Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And now our producer wants to hear us sing.
Yes.
Okay.
Boy, that would go over really well.
Yeah. Yeah, there
Damn,
it goes.
Though, we might have a country music career and quit fishing.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Hey, you never know.
Well, it's all according to how much tequila I've had.
Tequila makes the pants come on, whatever yeah, that song
no,
is.
No, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, you have tequila one shot of tequila is going to make you sing. I'm sorry, but it does. Oh, and dance.
Yeah. I do stupid stuff. I do, like, gators and stuff at my age.
Oh, I've seen you do that. That's really ugly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you get drunk.
Yeah, and then the next day you couldn't walk. Well, I should say the next week.
No, I was
you couldn't
down.
Walk.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of my kids' weddings. I'll never do that again.
No. Kids. No. Yeah. I was there for
you
the.
There?
Yep. And Michael, it's not pretty.
I'll take your word for it.
No, it's not pretty. I just those were.
All right.
Bad memories.
Hey, great week of fishing so far.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people who listen to the show, people who know me, know that I go part time. Mm-hmm. I'm a part time charter captain from here on out, and look forward to this time of year getting away, and letting the body heal. I've taken a butt whooping over the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, kind of. I'm not going to say I went up blind today because I absolutely didn't. I got you. Leon calls me all the time, and Captain Chip Wingo, and Captain Kirk Waltz, and so, but every day's different this time of year.
It's crazy.
You know, I mean, it really is. When I'm going to tell you, honestly, when I picked my folks up at 9 o'clock this morning, I hit the ramp at 8. It was lapping over the ramp.
Dude, did you see the surf coming into Comanche Cove?
Well, yes. Yes.
Over those rocks,
yes,
those little telephone poles, or
absolutely.
The heck they are?
Yeah, so it's lapping over that.
Uh-huh.
It's blowing 25 mm-hmm. out of the south-southwest. I'm going, this is going to suck. You know what I mean? Because your reports from yesterday were pretty good, but I'm not Joe Founder Fisherman. You know, I mean,
that's the only thing that saved my butt.
Yeah, you know, and so my guys, Brian Register and his dad, Jim, they get on the boat, and they're like, it's blowing, Cap, you know, and they know, you know. And I said, I know. I said, let's just go, you know. And they're like, what's on the agenda? And I'm like, I got the inshore rods, and I got the tarpon mm-hmm. rods. And it's blowing so hard that our plan of trying to catch bait and salt run with
That's
a
out.
Southwest is done. You mm-hmm. can't – because – You'll stick the boat in the mud and the wind's gonna blow you in there. So anyway, bait was right in the middle of the inlet. Everywhere.
That's where they were yesterday.
Okay. But there unless you really have a trained eye, yeah, with it blowing that hard and it white capping, you know, and so the first school that came by, they were literally 10 feet mm-hmm. off of my starboard side into the wind. that net just went shoop,
yep,
right back to the boat, yep. And went okay. So I gotta find right. me a school downwind.
But they're easy to look for.
They are.
You'll see a V pattern that is against the wind.
Yep, and not only that, just look for the ospreys.
That's true too.
You know, I mean, if those ospreys are diving in that inlet, if they're circling around and there's two or three of them at the same time, there's mullets somewhere right there. And then look for the jacks and the tarpon blowing up on them and everything else too. But anyway, I caught two or three dozen right there, and then I kept easing towards Salt Run, you know, I got a southwest wind really hard. Well, up against the rocks, you know, I looked down the rocks. I'm like, well, I don't even know why I was fooling with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a million mullet on those rocks, you know. And interestingly, I loaded up the net and had anything from beautiful little buttercups to medium size to a couple tarpon, you know, mullet in there, and went down to the end of the rocks. And I knew your reports from yesterday were not very good, but I've still got an hour and a half of incoming tide on a flood tide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what else are you really gonna do?
A true flood tide. And not only that, but we've talked about this. We'll talk about this for years, and you'll hear us say it again years from now. The worst wind in the world is a due south or a due north wind. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of it. You know, you can't go fish the docks at Porpoise Point. Nope. You can't go to the Bridge of Lions because it's just howling. Mm-hmm. But the rocks, you can kind of tuck in there because obviously.
And it's flat calm.
Yeah, yeah, it was beautiful.
You literally run down 20 feet off the rocks.
Yeah.
And you can haul butt.
Yeah.
But if you get out in the middle of that inlet.
Oh, it's ugly.
It's 4 to 5 foot.
Oh, it's ugly. It's ugly. So I'm, you know, and literally. The place that we all like to fish, which is, well, I don't know, the last 50, 100 yards of the rocks, is covered. There's no rocks, mm-hmm. you know, so you got to go by your GPS. And Brian even said something. He goes, it's going to be a bad day if we run into one of the rocks. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the only saving grace was I had a south wind.
Well, yesterday I did, and I had an east.
Okay, yeah.
I had an east, southeast yesterday.
Right.
And the back flush or the sucking end of the big rollers that were in there, because they were
right.
4 or 5 foot rollers spread out, but when they come to those rocks and they hit the top, they kind of like back flush,
mm-hmm.
and then come back up
to let you know where they are.
To let you know where they are,
right?
And it's like you're looking at them, you're going, it's kind of like that early morning deer. Is that a deer? You know, you're kind of like,
well,
am I far enough away?
And then you don't tuck in there close.
No, you watch your depth recorder. Yeah, I was stuck out like 28 foot of water.
Yeah.
I was out a little farther than what I should have.
Right,
been.
Right. But then you feel a whole lot better.
If that trolling motor quits, I'm going to be on it in seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So two or three cast, one move, and started catching redfish, which was awesome. And then the sharks moved in.
They are ferocious right now.
And I mean, Scott, you don't even get 2 seconds now on the fish.
I mean, it's straight up, just like, I mean, it drags all the way locked down.
Yeah.
And God forbid if you catch a really, really nice flounder, which is that time of year that they're there too,
right.
You're going to pull the hooks on them.
Right.
Because all you're doing, I mean, it's how we try to tell people, it's a reel, not a winch.
Mm-hmm.
No, right now it's a winch. I
right.
said, get him in here as fast as you can.
Right, if you want something to eat.
If you want something to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, It just
how much you lose?
I hate to say 7, probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny because we never got a bite out there yesterday.
Yep. We had our reds. We had one, like I said, one oversized. And the damn tarpon were coming down those rocks, just blowing it up, man. And I was there all by myself except for our buddy.
Captain Tommy Derringer.
Well, yeah. No, yes. Tommy was
all the way
truly
out the
tarpon
end.
Fishing.
Okay.
And he had a guy throwing a fly rod.
Jacob
and,
Hardy.
Yeah, was that Jacob who was throwing the fly? Oh, Jacob
no,
Hardy.
Jacob
the charter,
Hardy has the other charter.
Yeah, and that was it. It was just the three of
really?
Us.
Really?
That was it. There was nobody else out there. And it was nice. It was, I mean, like, compared to some of the stuff we have fished.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know?
yesterday was fine outside, just a big swell.
Right. No, we didn't even hardly have a big swell
big
today,
swell, yeah.
You know, because, again, you had a south wind.
Yep.
Now, it was howling. I mean, you know, and
dude, I thought about y'all. I was like, whoa, they're getting killed out there today.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, and I sat there through the rest of the incoming tide, sat there through the outgoing tide, and it's interesting where we fish right there on the outgoing tide. It starts eddying, so you can.
And you're doing circles, and everybody keeps moving around the boat.
Right. Yeah, go, but well, at least you can still fish.
You can.
You know, you can still fish.
You might go to the bow right now and then come back to the stern.
The coolest thing was, though, is I had one of my medium rods, and the tarpon kept blowing up. I mean, he was in a little pocket. I'm like, I told those guys, I'm gonna, but it was a big fish. I mean, like.
Really?
Like an 80 to 100. Yeah. Not one of our little 40s, 50s that we like. Yeah. And I kept throwing it in, and I kept throwing it, and I kept switching my mullet on. I kept throwing, and they would catch a red. And every 5 seconds I had, well, I tossed it in there, and as soon as I tossed it in there, I felt thump, and I went, oh, there he is right there. You know, and I set the hook, and I handed it to Jim, and the fish jumped, but it was out of the corner of my eye, and I went, oh, it's a, you know, small tarpon. We're all fired up, and he fights it and fights it and gets it up there, and I'm like, holy crap, it's a snook. It was a nice fish.
It was a nice fish.
I really thought that it was legal. When I first knew it was going to be close. And so, folks, it's 28 to 32. I have a snook stamp.
I do, too.
And the fish was 26 and a half inches. Biggest snook I've ever caught at the inlet.
Very nice.
But I had to throw her back, which is fine. We got a good picture, but that was cool. That was cool, you know, catching that snook.
Congrats.
Yep, that was awesome. Those guys were as fired up as I was, you know, so that was cool, too, because they understood.
Oh, I don't care if he's 16 inches, I know, dude. I'm screaming, it's a snook!
Yeah, it's a snook, I know.
I mean, I'm sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, and then when you have one, and the funny thing was is that the fish, when she got up, they acted just like a tarpon, you know, jumped, handed the rod, and when it got up there, Jim, he reeled the fish up too close to the rod tip, and you know, I mean, just kept reeling because, you know, I got kind of a lockdown drag on that, yep, that medium, yep. And I'm like, no, I can't believe that he didn't pull the hook. I mean, because there was 2 inches of line out.
I'm gonna make a rod one day that just has like this gigantic eye where you can just reel them all the way down to the reel.
That's a good idea. I like
what
that.
The hell? You already started. We might as well just have, you know, make eyes out of like bicycle hoops or something like that, and just let you reel right through.
Just winching right on in.
It's just so like.
And I was so excited. I went, oh no, I didn't want to lose that fish right there.
Looks like he cut you up too.
No.
Oh, I saw some blood on your hands.
Oh no, that's from last week. Still, I'm still recovering.
You're still recovering from that.
I'm still recovering from last week. I'm good.
You know, it really stinks cleaning your hands all day and using the Purell and all that because still dealing with COVID. Damn, I'm finding new cut marks every single day.
Oh, it'll burn you.
Boy, when that stuff hits, that's a whole different subject.
It'll burn you. 641-1010, 641-1010. Listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Kevin Faber, Captain Scott Shank, and Captain Leon is taking the evening off. Because he can't talk.
He can't talk. How about that?
Yeah, we can say anything we want to.
Bad.
Yep.
It's going to be fun tonight with Chip.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And I was... saw a little text there between you and Leon today about some Moe's food.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I got to play my part, man.
Right? Yeah, you're.
I mean, I'm just saying. The kids wanted
Moe's.
Mexican food, and I said, "Huh, we're going to Moe's."
I like it. It's good.
Welcome
stuff.
To Moe's.
Welcome to Moe's. Chip.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you and
how's the home life going? First off.
No, we're not going to go there. Yeah,
nice
it's fine.
It's nice and quiet.
You and I were discussing today bow hunting this weekend, and you were like, yeah, I was going to go, but I got some calls, you know, about cast and blast, and I'm going. So now I'm sitting here looking at it. You have seen the forecast, right?
Yeah, I've seen the forecast. That's not this weekend, though. This weekend I have an 8-hour trip scheduled tomorrow, and then that 8-hour tournament on Saturday. You know, that's a charter. So I'm like
20 to 25 out of the northeast, rough on the intercoastal waters, showers in the morning, showers likely in the afternoon. Get you some of that.
Yeah, that's Saturday. I told you already I would leave yours at home. You are more than welcome to come and run my bay boat.
Yeah, I might take you up on that, but I'd be surprised if they actually have it. But, I mean, that's just crazy. What, am I going to sit under a bridge somewhere?
That's what I'm – I guess that's why – and then Sunday, 20 to 20 – I'm sorry, 25 to 30 out of the northeast, 10 to 13 feet, showers and – chance of thunderstorms basically all day.
That's inside of 22 you're looking at.
That's right. That's right.
Not 60.
Yeah. Monday, 20 to 25, 9 to 12, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms.
I was like, I need to go bow hunting. So.
Seriously, and people don't think about this, Chip. They don't. They go, oh, I'm just going inshore. Well, bro, let me
That's
tell you something.
That's pretty dangerous right there, I'm
when,
telling you.
When those kind of winds start bucking a tide.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
Well, that North River, anything north of Llano Bridge
sir.
On a turn of a tide with that kind of wind.
Yeah.
If it ain't 4 to 5.
Yeah.
And short.
And right on top of
top of one another.
Yep.
I mean, it's spooky.
It was bad out there today at times. I mean, I was, you know, I fished down there today, tarpon fished, and I was laughing. My poor guys would make a cast into the wind and it would land next to the boat. I'm like,
right,
guys,
throw it a little harder.
Yeah.
So, but man, it was a fun week. I actually had back to back two guys 2 days in a row. Yesterday we flood tide fished and it was phenomenal. It was just one of the best days I've seen in years. Fish slurp. Oh, it was incredible, Kevin. And we got to do that, but unfortunately, we did a 6-hour trip, and we only had about 3 hours to play with the fish in the flood before they turned and tailed out on us. But I mean, it was everywhere you went, Kevin. We never got out of the boat. I was on the trolling motor, had a guy fly fishing, had a guy throwing a spinner rod. They're slurping on top of the water. You know, it was unbelievable. You know, and these guys were so excited about it that it made me more excited about it. We just had a blast. And then after we did the flood tides, the tides started drawing out, so we just went and started throwing the fly rod and spinner rod for those huge ladyfish, jacks. It was impressive. I mean, it was just every cast. You know, and on fly rod, the ladyfish, those big ladyfish are actually pretty fun. So.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then today we went, and, you know, well, you guys want to do something different?
Yeah.
So I picked them up and drove them to St. Augustine, and we fished down there, and we had, I think we put, we have 4 bites, put 2 in the air, and we never landed one. And then that little crack of lightning started, so we boogied out of there. That was when you were leaving, too. So
yeah.
But then I drove back to Jack's Beach.
I was out there on the North Rocks with Leon, and you know, our boat set up so much higher than his boat, and he was closer to the rocks than me. And my guys were like, you know what, that storm looks ugly. And I'm like, you know, it's about that time anyway. Let's go. And I turn around and I go by Leon and I said, hey, watch that weather. And he turned around and you can see him kind of stand on his tippy toes. And he went, oh. Oh yeah, you
boys.
Know, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, when you get in focus of what you're doing, weather can get on you.
No,
really,
no,
you know
no,
what I'm saying?
No.
It can. I mean, because it happened to me this year. You know, I was on a school of tarpon, pogie pod on the beach, and I was looking east the whole time, and it was beautiful, and Leon called me, and he was at the ramp, and he goes, you know, just
FYI.
Take a look to the west every now and then. I turned on, holy crap, you know, and I had Doug Winslow. He's like, one more cast. I said, what are you going to do, hook up a 150-pounder right now, and we're going to have to sit through this? You know what I mean, Chip? I mean,
And it's so funny because we probably watch the weather more than the meteorologists do.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, on a daily basis. And I'm sorry, but it's not that I don't think that you know what you're looking at, but I might be off that day or whatever, and I can hear it already rumbling.
Right.
And go, look here, boys, it's, you know, at St. John's now.
Right.
And, I mean, it's not like you guys don't know what weather looks like either, but it's just, I don't know.
Right.
I'm so, I get that kind of stuff like that scares me.
Well, the one thing that bothered me about it today, Chip, was it was blowing so hard out of the south-southwest. No. That if you can see it pretty good,
it might be on you
in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
You know that,
exactly.
That you'd have a southeast sea breeze pushing it off of you. You know.
Yep.
It did come on us pretty quick today. If you watched those two bands that were all the way up, I mean, it blew, I was like, we got to go now. You know.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
But
did you find very many tarpon feeding on mullet today?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Good.
We actually started and hit a spot right off the bat. We got bait and went to the spot, and it was like we were looking around and rounded an area and looked, and they were blowing up. We pulled in second cast, we hooked one up, and jumped it like three times, and then it jumped off, and then not 5 minutes later we got another bite, and then they just quieted down, so we started running and gunning, and then we found a massive feeding. I was telling Scotty on the phone earlier, we were talking about the place where they're usually smaller fish, and you know, but there were huge fish there today, and they were, we had one bite there and he ate the cork, the mullet, everything. I mean, in one bite, and he didn't stick, but yeah, it
was crazy.
It was
there
funny
yesterday.
Because it came through in waves. I mean,
yep.
But they were feeding hard.
Yep.
And it was impressive.
You know, the fish that I saw on the rocks today were all big fish.
Yeah.
Big fish. I didn't see any of those little 30, 40 pounders.
30 to 60 is what I saw yesterday.
Oh, no. These were, like I said,
big.
80 to 100 and over.
No. Yeah.
We saw one, Kevin, today. It had to be a 150 easy. I mean, it was huge and impressive. And the guy goes, what was that yellow spot? And it had like a big square of, when it jumped out of the water, scales that were missing. So it was kind of crazy when I saw it. I was like, wow, that's a big fish. And then it came up again and ate again. It came completely out of the water twice. And I was like, you know, they were impressed with it. I mean, they never seen anything like that. They live in Nashville.
Yeah, but Brian, who was fishing with me today, he goes, dude, we could just sit here.
Yeah.
And you know what I tell him? Me too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too. It's just
you're learning more than you believe, even though you see it.
Yeah.
There's more to learn every single day.
Yeah, but
there's none out there on the jetty yesterday.
Look, it's just like it. You know, the only thing you kind of compare it to in the hunting industry, Chip, is the rut. You got
exactly
10 days of amazing deer activity. You know, and with us with the mullet run, and here's the deal. You know, when we went out to the North Rocks, it was tarpon, you know, feeding and stuff. And Brian's like, does this happen all the time? And I'm like, it does happen during the mullet run. But even during the mullet run, you don't see it every day.
Yeah, I don't.
You know,
yeah,
certain
true.
Conditions, just like certain conditions when you're deer hunting, you know what I mean? If you have the right weather conditions. And one thing I've always learned about tarpon, man, the rougher the better. They love it today. They love it.
Let me tell you something. Ripping current, blowing hard, and jacked up. They're like happy.
Yes, they love it.
Yeah.
Bring a camera, because I'm telling you right now, mark my words, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week are going to probably be the most epic time of the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've got
this kind of wind like this between the hurricane going out of Wilmington. So whatever mullets are left up in the Carolinas,
right?
They're coming out. They're coming. And then now you got Georgia and everything else with the northeast blowing 30 knots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it is going to be nothing but epic.
Yep.
Between that and Jack's all out, because we haven't had that yet.
No, we haven't.
You have not seen those finger mullet schools getting crashed by acres and acres and acres of
Jack's.
Of 5 to 12
all
pound
the way
jacks.
Across the inlet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And
yep.
just showering bait. Nobody has seen that yet. Yep. We have not seen any showering yet.
Yeah, it's going to
be
fun.
Just mark my words.
Yeah, I'm going to have a shotgun on the boat the first 5 days of the week, so that'll be fun. But and all I can think about
let people know why you're going to have a shotgun on the boat.
Oh, marsh hen hunting. so we hear gas blast. Defending my territory.
Scott's been fishing my damn tarpon
hole. Damn it, I told you to get away from my redfish rock. I'm going to throw it over his bow, boys.
Yeah. We've got some great floods. And I tell you what, it's going to be spectacular, actually, with that northeast wind, because it's going to hold those tides in and push that water in so much that I think it'll almost be
My prediction is you will have spectacular hen hunting, and the flood tide fishing will suck because it's going to be too high.
There's going to be one bush with about 40 marshheads in it.
Exactly.
You go up there and hit that with your pad with the push pole, and I can tell you the shoot's over in 5 minutes.
We're done.
Let's go get breakfast.
Damn, that's fun though.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, it you know, because you get to rib each other too. You're like, man, they fly slow. You know,
so, is that something that you promote, Chip?
A little bit. Yeah, I have about 15 different clients that like to do it, and they know I do it. And they've been hitting me hard this year, waiting. And I told them, I said, when it really starts, I'll hit you up. And you know, after the flood tide yesterday, I was going to start to call people. Well, my phone started ringing like crazy last night. Everybody wants to go. And I'm like, well, let's do it because we got perfect tides coming. You know, and even if it's windy, if it's safe to run, even with the heavy winds, it's still a lot of fun because you can get back in there and it's not as rough on the flats that we were at. So.
90% of the time on a hen tide, it's going to be windy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the nature of the hunt, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you know what? You tell people, put your slickers on, or you know, away we go.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. There's no pun intended, but I'm looking forward to it. It's been so much fun. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks about mullet showing up and tarpon and different stuff happening. How fun this time of year is. You know, and it just puts
and
the new spring.
It's been a pretty good mullet run.
I have no complaints here compared to last year.
Yeah, compared to last year. If you remember, we had no weather last year.
Didn't have it. We had that one storm that kicked up that made the initial run.
And that was it.
That's what I'm saying. It was it.
September was 95 every flipping day.
We only had about 8-9 days maybe of a mullet run last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at bow hunting this weekend. I've never seen it this cold.
No,
I've been up there since 2006 now, and you know, usually
you got 50s up there this weekend.
I mean, like low 50s and northeast at 15.
That's pretty dang chilly.
I mean, you're talking like almost warm clothes. You know what, Chip, and I know we're doing forecast, but I'll be curious to see what the deer do because
they're probably going to
come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
you know, would be my thinking, but you know, just like fish, when that weather changes like that, I mean they go crazy. So what's that?
20-degree temperature change should fire them off pretty good. I mean, everything's waking up right now and going, hey, it's time to eat. You know.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
So,
you
know.
But, all right, buddy. Great job.
You guys
as usual.
Have
we'll
a
talk
good one.
What, are you fishing tomorrow?
8-hour trip.
Oof. Okay.
Artificial.
Yep, all right, buddy. Yeah. See you. If you're gonna be dumb, you better be tough. 641-1010. We come back. We got Harold, I believe.
Harold, and we're gonna talk about my day yesterday.
Yeah, we'll talk about your day yesterday. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about here on the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010 XL. Be right back.
This is the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank. Always in here with my good buddy, Captain Kevin Favor. Thursday night,
always
from 8 to 9. We're always here talking fishing, joking, laughing, all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
Harold.
Yes.
Let's go talk to Harold. Harold, I believe, wants to talk about jetty anchoring.
That's a good question.
Yes, sir.
What's up, Harold?
Sir. Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. As always, I love your show. I tune in every Saturday morning and every Thursday evening.
Thanks, man.
I don't want to say an apology, but last time I called in, the joke was kind of clean, but I know you don't never know how it's going, so sometimes you just kind of boop, cut people off. But listen, it was a good joke. I apologize. But anyway, so, hey, what I was calling about was little boat anchoring. I got a 16-foot flat-bottom Griff craft, and I'm not sure how to anchor the jetties because I don't have one of these high-tech trolling motors that you guys have. It deploy and you're there, yep. And
right.
So I'm looking for options to be able to anchor the jetty and penalty.
Okay, I gotcha. It's all good. Gotcha. The biggest thing is watch your conditions, okay? Because you're not that big of a boat to be out there. You're going to have big boats coming in and all that kind of stuff. I have picked up people that their boats got swamped out there because, little flats boats and all that try to anchor out there. But with your question, rig up your jetty anchor. You could get them. Gosh, St. Augustine Marina's got them over there, Jimmy Beaches.
What type of anchor are we talking about?
It's a jetty anchor. Almost like a rebar aluminum anchor.
Yep. Yep, it's not your Danforth.
It's not your Danforth. You don't want a fluke anchor out there.
Right, you want a jetty anchor.
What's called a jetty anchor, which basically looks like rebar all bent into little U's, and they come in different sizes, just like the Danforths do for the size of the boat. Now, when
probably
you rig it up,
five different barbs kind of deal.
Then they have an eyelet at the bottom side of the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take a clevis, and that's actually where your rope goes to for your anchor.
Yeah,
following me? You gotta take a clevis, put it around that eyelet that's on the bottom of the anchor. Okay, you're gonna run your cord or your rope up. Well, actually, it's gonna be. Excuse me. You're gonna run your chain up the side of the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Carry a pile of zip ties with you.
Yep.
Because you never know how many you need. You don't want big boys. That's where I'm going with this.
Oh, okay.
You want to break them away as easy as possible.
Yep, because that way what it does when it breaks it away, the anchor comes up backwards.
Backwards.
Right.
So you're not hung in the rocks.
But the cool thing is that you could throw that thing up there and get hung in the rocks, which is what you want to do to stay anchored. But then whenever you're like, okay, let's go in or we want to move spots, you just pop that.
Trip that cord and you're done.
Yep.
Because the biggest thing is, one, you're not going to bend it. Two, it's not like a Danforth where if a big boat comes through, they're throwing a heck of a wake, it will pop itself and it won't dig into the bottom.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So your question on getting big, bad, zippy tight, no. I mean, you really want, put two or three
something
or four of them on there, little tiny ones, so it'll break easy.
Gotcha.
And try it on yourself. Hook it around a tree. What's that?
Go ahead, I'm sorry. You can back away from the anchor if you do get hung, go the opposite way the anchor is.
Go forward.
And it'll pull itself out, right?
Go forward.
Oh, forward?
Go forward. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Forward, just going to trip it off.
Gotcha.
If it's hung in a rock, as soon as you come up on it, that's the easiest thing to do, because the worst thing that I watch people do, especially with anchors, is it's stuck in a rock and they just bury the throttle. Well, what happens is that bow's going to go straight underneath the water,
right,
and it's going to snatch you around so fast that you're going to sink. I mean, plain and simple, boat's going down. So
gotcha.
A jetty anchor
is
very important to come out there on the jetties and then just watch your
conditions. Yeah, jetty anchor's really safe. I mean, and like Scott said, it should come up backwards. If not, if it's only got one of the barbs on it, it'll straighten out.
Yeah, I mean, they're like aluminum or cast.
Yeah.
Or something. Go over there and see Jimmy Beach over there. I know he's got tons of them.
Yep.
Go over there and see Jimmy.
It almost sounds like a disposable anchor, like a rebar anchor, if you could get.
Yeah,
it is. It's not that expensive.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if you lost it, no harm, no foul. You don't have $100.
It's not a Danforth.
But still, with that being said, Harold, that anchor is still going to be light, okay? You're still going to want to run at least 15 foot of chain on it.
Yeah.
You still want to give it some back weight for that anchor to settle down on the bottom end.
Exactly. Well, I hear y'all talking about the, you know, fishing the jetties all the time. I'm like, man, I'd love to do that. But, you know, little boat stuff, it's kind of tough to really get a hang in there, you know? So,
just our jetties are totally different than fishing other jetties.
Yeah.
And seriously, it's the bottom of the tide and the top of the tide. That's it. That's all we got.
You got 40 minutes each way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, we're not going out there making, you know, 4 to 6 hour charters on a jetty. We time it, and you can do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But if that current is ripping out of there, don't go throw the anchor. It's not worth it. You can't get anything down to the bottom anyway. Nope. You know, you have to time it for the top and the bottom of the tides.
Exactly. Yep. Just like you said, you got to pick your day, especially in them little boats. This weekend, northeast wind, outgoing tide,
not even in our boats, brother.
It was rough out there yesterday, and then Kevin said it was nice out there because it's a south wind where I had an east southeast yesterday, and it was rough. I mean, I took it over the bow, headed out there.
Mm. You got you. Good deal, guys. Well, man, I appreciate your things. We'll holler back at you.
Appreciate it. Good deal. Thanks, Harold.
Yep.
That's a good conversation. Now and it's all we talk about safety so much.
And because a Danforth, I mean, not being mean, but a Danforth or a fluke anchor is going to kill you out there. It's going to get hung in that rock.
Well, if it's rough and the wrong conditions,
something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched it way too many times out there when people get anchors.
Yeah, and I know people that are listening are going to go, really? Did you say this? But I'm going to anyway. Don't ever tie off to the stern. You know, there's probably 98% of the people out there go, who would do that? Okay, but I still see it.
No, I watch the sheephead guys. You watch sheephead guys in February and March do it.
Yeah.
They throw their bow anchor out. Well, they'll actually scratch that. They'll throw a stern anchor into the rocks.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they'll throw a bow anchor down, pin them sideways so they're laying.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, don't. You know,
I've seen it.
Anchor from the bow.
Yep.
That's why it's up there. And
it's an inlet, folks. Understandable. Boats are responsible for their wakes. But in that same token, the Sea Love or Big Sporties, they're heading offshore. They do not want to idle all the way through that inlet. Yeah. They got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
you know,
like I said, it sounds idiotic, but I've just seen it too many times. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there who, have questions about anchoring and stuff because it is intimidating.
It is.
It's intimidating to me. I am so fortunate that I have the trolling motor, the iPilot. I mean, that's the greatest thing maybe in my lifetime invention for a charter captain.
Well, with all the years spent offshore, I've become really, really good at it. I can drag anchor all over that ocean. I might miss it the first time, but I am not going to miss it the second time.
Well, I mean, I did it old school.
But we also counted out. I made, between the mate and myself, we counted out in 100-foot increments.
Yeah.
So I knew how much rope I had dragging behind me. So you would go up 350 feet in front of the spot if you got 300-foot of line out. And you came back. Hopefully you got your heading. Mm-hmm. And you came back and dropped it. And hopefully when you came back there, you were ahead of it by 30 or 40 feet, and it was like, ooh, all I got to do is let out 20 or 30 feet, and we're fishing.
Right,
but it's the 50 feet when you pass it.
Right, exactly.
And everybody looks at you and go, hold on, guys, I got to make another swing on it, and you go back up, and you swing back around on it again.
Yeah.
But we never picked up the anchor. I drug all day long.
Yeah.
10 hours, never picked it up. Because we moved from ledge to ledge, it was just everybody's coffee break.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't want to drag it any more than about 3 miles, 2 miles. Because what will happen is that the anchor and the chain will twist the rope up really, really bad, and then the rope will never lay flat again if you drag it for too long.
Just kind of like a pogie on a downrigger.
Kind of doesn't that the worst when you snap it out and that hole down
the whole
100
thing.
Feet just it's like now I got to rip off 150 feet and reline it tonight.
Exactly.
I did that about 8 times this year. There's nothing worse.
Oh, especially when
we were struggling, when we were catching them big old pogies and they would die.
Yeah.
I was hardly ever running a downrigger because I got some pissed.
Me too. I did.
I was tired of wish-pulling reels.
I did the same thing. That's so funny. I was like, you know what?
Screw that downrigger.
Unless I got something that'll swim down there, I ain't putting it out.
If I had a mullet or had some sardines or something that would swim.
Yep.
But once it got to be the big old turbo pokies we were catching in the run,
so
hell no.
So when we run downriggers, folks, it's, you know, we put out
30 feet.
Yeah, 30 feet of line, and when you're slow trolling, if the bait, sometimes it'll get knocked in half, mm-hmm. and you don't know it, or it dies for some reason and you don't know it. Well, then it starts. It just spins. And when it spins up
the memory all up in
the memory and the mono, and then when you unclip it from the downrigger, well, it goes all the way up into your rod.
Once you do it, when you pop it out of that clip, what happens immediately when you know that you got problems? It wraps around the top eye.
It wraps around the top eye.
So you're pulling off 100 feet while you're fishing and go, well, let's try this one more time.
Yeah.
If it does it twice,
and
I'm
done. It gets so raveled up that you can't even reel it into the reel.
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people, which I used to when I used to fish mono, that was when you spooled the rod, even though you spool it at home, whether somebody's holding it and all that kind of stuff. Well, even when I got out fishing, I would dump it all off the reel.
Sure.
Troll it behind the boat for whatever, 5, 6, 7 minutes,
right.
and then reel it back tight on the reel because, one, it got pressure, two, it's got moisture.
Yep.
And that's how I would always spool my mono reels, was actually with the boat. But thank God for Parade, we don't really have to worry about that anymore.
No, we don't. No. But we still have it on our kingfish rods. And it can be aggravated. 641-1010. You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. If you want to give us a call, 641-1010. We got one more little small segment to go. If not, you'll just have to listen to
us talk about fishing.
And your trip yesterday. I want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because it was different than mine today.
Yeah.
Wilders. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Kevin Favor, Captain Scott Shank, and we have
Jim.
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey there.
How are you?
I was just a question about your rigs for tarpon along the jetties there in St. Augustine. Is that just a popping cork and a live bait under there, or what?
Yeah, basically. You can use a Cajun Thunder. Honestly, my preference is not to.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people use a Cajun Thunder and it's basically the same rig though, 80-pound fluorocarbon, and like a 2 or 3-aught, like Gamagachu, really strong, live bait hook, something that's really sharp. But yeah, I mean it's about as simple as it gets. I mean, 65-pound braid, 80-pound fluorocarbon, super strong.
And you're just pitching it up toward the rocks, and you say north jetties, but is that the south side of the inlet?
I'm sorry, when we say the north jetties, it's just the north side, where the north cut is, Porpoise Point.
Right.
Yep.
So just that big long row along there, okay.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, there's, and yes, that's exactly how we fish. I mean, just like today, I kept pitching to a tarpon and ended up catching a big snook, which was really cool. But, yeah, it's as simple as it gets,
So are you putting a cork on there, or are you just freelining it?
I do not put a cork on.
I don't either.
Okay.
But Captain Leon, Dana, Captain Chip Wingo, they use Cajun Thunders about 4 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest reason that they do that, Jim, is to keep so they can see where the bait is, for the most part, and for me, I'll use it both ways, but for the most part, I like just something free lined. Yes.
And just whatever live you got.
About 6-7 inch mm-hmm. mullet.
Okay.
Hey, but be really careful. Don't try it if there's a ton of boats on top of one another. The reason I say that is because Kevin about found that out this week. There's some big spinner sharks in that inlet right now.
Yes,
and another charter captain was – I was in the middle. Another one was ahead of me, and Kevin was in there. I mean, about 150, 170 pounds spinner about landed in Kevin's boat.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to be careful.
You got to be real careful. Don't try it with a bunch of boats because somebody might get hurt.
Cool. Well, thank you for your show.
Absolutely, thank buddy. You. Thank you. Have a great evening. Yeah, folks, don't forget to join us from 7 to 10 on Saturday morning for the Nimnik Outdoor Show. Myself, Loggeman, and Captain Kirk will all be there. And I haven't even talked to Kirk this week, so I'll be really
curious. I'm going to see what's going on.
Yeah, to see what's – what. And I would assume it's about the same.
Bull Reds.
Yeah, what you doing tomorrow? You got the trip?
Nope.
So you're going to be living vicariously through me again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Folks, thanks for joining me and Captain Scott. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next Thursday, 8 to 9, right here on 1010XL with the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. See ya.
See ya.